I'm from Swaziland, Eswatini now. I'm a child of God above everything else. My wife is not with us due to ministry. We have been away from church for a number of weeks, probably three now, so she had to remain home to tick the register that we are still in the membership. Because you disappear for a month, the pastor will come to your home. See if you haven't changed address. So her and my son, who is 16 now, are at home. And it is a blessing to be in love. Yeah, she still gives me butterflies. Amen. It is still wonderful to be together. We are 18 years married this year, and it just feels like yesterday. Hallelujah. The Lord has blessed me with many things that humble my life, because I'm from humble beginnings. We have many things. Number of shopping centers to name a lot of things. I'm not about that today. But I want to say to you, of all the blessings I have, this woman is number one. Because 18 years working with her, Bazalwan. 18 years working with her, life has given us so many things to consider, to fight for, to stand together. I wouldn't have chosen a better partner. So I'm thankful to God. And you who are still not married, I'm a testimony that it's possible. God will give you the person that you need for your destiny. He is faithful. Can the singles say amen? Amen. I traveled a long way to come here, so when I say amen, please say an amen that is commensurate with a six-hour-long drive. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's about it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can I see your hands? Praise the Lord. God is good. And all the time. Hallelujah. I'm traveling with Babe Mahlinza, who is in the leadership at church. I asked him to come with me because Jesus sent them two by two. Didn't he? and said, carry no extra bag, no extra coat, nothing. But I carried two suits because I was preaching yesterday as well. Hallelujah. Shall we go to the word? How much time do I have? When should I finish? 20 past. Past 9. Oh, okay. That's fine. Perfect. Thank you, sir. There's a word in my heart that God placed as soon as the man of God asked me to come and be with you. And I'd like to appreciate Pastor Mike's wife. Having looked at this vision, this wouldn't have been possible had you not stood next to this man and believed for this vision when it was nothing to be believed in. I'm acquainted with starting things. And I know it takes someone who believes in you to stand with you when things start. This is not even half the story. God is taking you guys far. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say anything to your pastor because he is a man who struggles with forgiveness. I think we just need to start with deliverance afterwards. Lay hands on him. Praise God. But we were little boys when we met. I just come to UCT to do my BSc honors in engineering, and we met at the fellowship, and for the 4 years we literally stayed together and preached together and did our studies and finished in record time. That's also important. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5. I heard a song that was sung by Joyous Celebration some time ago. And I had heard it when I was a young man being sung by an American pastor. The song said, "Mercy rewrote my life." When I look back where I come from, I just stand in gratitude to God for his love and faithfulness. These guys were shocked yesterday. I was ministering, talking about God can rewrite your story. I come from a broken family. My mother raised me on her own. And we were in abject poverty, the bottom end of society. I was telling them that sometimes my mom wouldn't afford to buy us shoes, and I would walk. My school was 10 kilometers away, Salesian, a Roman Catholic school. And there was a river about the 5 kilometer mark. I still go there. I took my boys there to show them. This river would freeze and snow in winter. And I would walk barefooted there. It was tough. But God rewrote my life. Yes. He is a God who is still able to rewrite your story. Amen. To rewrite your story. So, the Jesus we worship is not a God without results. Hallelujah. In John chapter 9, when he healed that blind man, people that saw the blind man asked, "Is it him or is it someone who looks like him?" And the blind man said, "I am the blind man." Why were they asking, "Is it him or not?" When God is through with you, people who know where you come from will not be able to recognize you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Will not be able to recognize you. It's still the gospel that brings people out of drugs and out of alcoholism and out of sin and washes them and presents them before God. Holy and without blemish. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is my testimony that God and the Jesus I talk about is able to rewrite your life. Your life story. Praise be to God. From verse 17, chapter 5, we are going to end at verse 26. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Yeah. To heal who? To heal the Pharisees who had come from every town. Verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man who was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, They went upon the housetop and let him down through the roof tiles with his couch into the front of Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto the men, "Men, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, "Why do you reason in your hearts? What is easier, to say your sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon the earth to forgive sins," he said unto the sick and paralyzed, "I say unto you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately, someone say immediately. Immediately. He rose up before them and took up his bed and departed to his own house, giving glory to God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God when they were, and they were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Hallelujah. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Amen. It's a story that we know of this paralyzed man. We are not sure how he ended up paralyzed. Maybe he went through life and certain things happened and he suffered a stroke and he became paralyzed. When it comes to Jesus, it isn't important how you ended up in the position that you are in. You just have to know he is willing and able to raise you from where you are to a glorious place. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, the Bible says now he is in this place teaching, and there are Pharisees and scribes and doctors of the law which came from every suburb around. Because it says it's from the towns in Judea, in Galilee, and Jerusalem. Now there were sub-towns there. It's like Pretoria and these other areas around. So there were many doctors of the law and Pharisees. And there were other people as well. But Luke, the writer Luke or Dr. Luke says or emphasizes on the presence, on the overwhelming presence of Pharisees. If we continue reading, as we have read, Jesus could read their thoughts about him. Are you there?
Yes.
Why are you laughing at me? I need to adjust, sorry. Now, Jesus knew their thoughts. Amen. Because he could know when they said to him in their hearts, "Why does he speak blasphemies?" So Jesus is there, there's Pharisees all over. He knows what they're thinking of him. The Pharisees were there not to be healed, not to receive the word. The writer Luke emphasizes they were also doctors of the law, because they had their scripts and were there to just red tick everything that Jesus was saying. There's two things I want to point out there. Number one, when you come to the presence of the Lord, watch your attitude. It is your attitude that will determine what you will receive. In Luke chapter 7 and 8, we find a woman with the issue of blood. Many people around Jesus with many problems and received nothing because they had no expectation and their attitude was south. Amen.
Amen.
And a woman coming from far away with a long issue of blood, 12 years, right attitude, expecting to receive, paves the way behind the press, touches the hem of his garment. 12-year problem goes away in an instant. Amen. So, expectation is important when you come to the house of the Lord. Attitude to receive is important. We can all come here with a large crowd and one person goes back with their miracle. The Bible says when Jesus was in this place, the power of God was present to heal them. So when you come to this place, Jesus said, where two or three gather in his presence, there am I in them. So Jesus is here. And when he is here, the power of the Lord to heal, to restore, to lift up is present. You only receive how much you expect to receive. So when we come to the house of God, we're hungry to receive. Hallelujah. Number two, Jesus knew everything that they thought about him. And all of it was negative. He's a blasphemer. The Pharisees are the ones who were peddling the story that he was casting out demons using another demon, as the Bible says. They said he was not the Son of God. Jesus knew. But what did he do? You're too far. Jesus proceeded with his mission. God, if God has called you to do something, be it personal, career, business, charity, wherever God's called you, if you are going to succeed, you need to rise to a level where you know what the naysayers are saying. But focus on your mission. Jesus didn't go around there addressing all of them. Oh, you are thinking that I'm not the Son of God. He proceeded teaching. He knew what they were thinking. He knew they said he was a blasphemer. He didn't answer them. He didn't give them attention. What God has called you to do is so important, you have got no energy to waste on the people who are saying you won't make it, you're useless, you're a bad person. Jesus put that aside and taught the word. You will succeed in anything that you want. Vision or a dream or a calling that God gives you must have the ability of laser sharp focus. When people come and say, no, God didn't call you to do this, or you're not good enough, don't give it attention. He has called me. He is faithful. I will succeed. Amen. Amen. And then now, these men bring, or maybe let me talk a few minutes about the problem of the Pharisees. Jesus says in Mark 5, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He calls them people with leaven because the things that were holy, especially associated with the holy Passover of God, were associated with bread without leaven. So leaven was associated with unholiness or impurity. So he says, watch that. Why? Because number one, they did not believe in miracles. Which means they didn't believe in the power of God. Beloved, we need to go back to believing that God is powerful.
Yes.
Believing that God can open doors that are closed. That this is not just a social club. But we come here to get charged, and when we go out, we are like a car that has a full tank. We do the mileage of life. When Satan throws things, we cast them out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I love the gospel that has power. I was ministering yesterday where we were. And I said to the people there, I remember as a six-year-old boy, my pastor had invited another guy who was short from South Korea. And there was a boy we grew up with who was deaf and dumb. We would play with him. He was deaf and dumb. He couldn't speak, he couldn't hear. And this Korean pastor, among other miracles that I saw as a young boy, called this boy that I knew, put his hands on this boy's ear, touched his mouth, and he spoke, and he had from that day up to today. Yes. That is the gospel that we carry. Yes. This thing is not empty. This thing is potent. Yes. This thing is potent. When a child tries to be wayward, we call him back in the name of Jesus. We go to our clothes and say, Satan, you can't take this one. He belongs to me. I'm a child of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a property I wanted to buy in 2009. And when I went to the owner, it was in a prime spot in our capital city, where I wanted to run my new business. The owner said, you are too late because I've already signed a deed of sale, meaning an agreement to sell to someone else. And I went, I walked the place and I said, no man, everything inside me says this place is mine. But talking about a powerful gospel. I told my pastor, I said, I go to that place and the spirit says it's mine. And they said, they've said someone else has signed the deed of sale. Pastor said, let's go tomorrow to pray in the place. If you are going to do things for God, you need to be prepared to do crazy things.
Yes.
If you are going to be too dignified, if you are going to be too formal, you won't receive things from God. We went to the wet grass there. There was nothing. We were walking with my pastor in the wet grass. And we prayed, held our hands. And my pastor says, this is the children's bread. He said, those who have signed the deed of sale should go find another place. I say, in the name of Jesus, this plot belongs to this man. Tried to find finance. They couldn't find finance. They extended for them. It was a 30 days to 60 days. They couldn't find finance. 90 days they couldn't. Then they gave it to me. Hallelujah. This thing you are carrying has power. Hallelujah. I remember in 2011, my firstborn son had an ailment, a strange ailment. He was about 3 years old, the firstborn. And at night, when we were just about to go to sleep, his temperature would skyrocket to over 40, 41, 42 degrees Celsius. We would rush him to hospital and they would put him in there, give him drips and suppositories and all these things that nurses would give them. Admit him for 3-4 days and then he would come. And I would ask, what is this sickness? We don't know. What's happening? Do you have an explanation? No, we don't have it. It'll leave him for 2 months and when you think it's gone, boom, again. And then they said to me, he is going to become epileptic. He's going to start fitting with this thing, and if he gets that, it's going to carry with him his whole life. I said, no. I'm a child of God. I'm a worshiper of God. I give, I tithe. I belong to God. I'm not like people that are out there. The grace of God, someone's saying, oh, this pastor, is he saying God doesn't love? The grace of God is not fair. Favor is not fair. Favor is that God picks a person from the end of the queue and puts them in front. If that is fair in your eyes, then I don't know what fairness is. So I said to myself, if this thing comes again, I'm going to tell it where to go. So 2-3 months then, child starts crying, temperature goes up, child starts acting and all of this. Wife is preparing the bag to go. I said, no one's going to hospital today. I said, you demon, in the name of Jesus, leave this child. He is my child. By extension, he belongs to God because I belong to God. I said, leave him. We're not going anywhere. You don't have a right to torment us. The word of God and the salvation we've got is potent with power.
Yeah.
I said, leave. I said, there's that neighbor who plays parties every night, makes noise for me. Go there if you need a place. I didn't say that. Hallelujah. The power of God was there to heal. Verse 18. Yeah, verse 18 says, then his friends brought him in a stretcher. Verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with, or which was paralyzed, and sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus. Can I just spend 1 or 2 minutes talking to you about the power of association? This man had friends whom, when he was in trouble, they took him to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good character. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13:20 says, he becomes wise who travels with wise men. Very important. When you are alive to your destiny or where God wants to call you, or when you have a personal vision of where you want to go, be selective on who has access to your heart. And if I'd give you free advice, the circle must not be too big. If your circle is too big, you have got 20 people with access to you, 100 people who have access to you. The life of a person must take the structure of the temple of Solomon or the tent of Moses. As the outer court where everyone goes, inner court where only the children of Aaron, the Levites, would be. The holy place, only the priests would go there. And the most holy place, only the high priest would go there. I see people in my community. Someone was visiting, they take a picture in the main bedroom of the house. What's this visitor doing in the main bedroom? People don't have discretion when it comes to who is around me and how much access to my privacy they have. And when these people tell other people of what's in your most holy place, you are hurt like nothing. Oh, in the bedroom, the furniture is cheap or whatever they say. You know, you ladies especially. If you love someone, they should stay there. They should remain there. Be cautious. Be particular about your private space. You will save yourself many tears. Nebazaran, if you will come into my house, hey, God loves you. It's a few people who gets invited no more. I have so many business associates, so many. I have so many friends. But you want to see me, we'll go to a restaurant. My house is my sanctuary. So the people you allow into your life must be like these men we find in Luke 5. When you are in trouble, let them carry you to the presence of Jesus Christ. Those are the people you keep. It must be people who genuinely believe in you. Even knowing your weaknesses, still believe in you. It must be people who are brutally honest with you. Who will say, Dlamini, you need to quit that habit. That gambling thing is going to send you to the wrong place. It must be people who say, you're spending too much time on social media. You said you wanted to be a doctor. I don't think you'll get there if you're still a student. Got 10,000 friends on Facebook. When are we going to do the medicine? Huh? friends you keep, he becometh wise who keeps the company of wise men. So company is important. You know, the people who talk soccer, you know, class of 96 at school, well, keep those WhatsApp groups. It's fine. They don't. But the people who have access to your heart, those need vetting. Hallelujah. Proverbs 27 verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, the man sharpens the countenance of a friend. People who make you better. People who challenge you. People who are going in the same direction you are going. You can't say, I'm working towards there, and the person's going that way, and we are friends. We spend 2 hours every day. Praise the Lord Jesus. If I don't finish these notes, I will come back in 2025 and complete this sermon. When did we agree? 24. Hallelujah. Now, verse 18. Jesus sees the action. Someone comes here. He tears up a building for someone they don't even know. As long as we can get this man in front of Jesus. Yeah. Bible says he sees their action, and it says, seeing their faith, he then starts ministering to the man. We still need to go back, Bazalwane. With all our means, I remember the other time, you know, a struggle just came into my life. It was a big project I needed. In my company, I have very efficient systems for raising capital. I do a lot of projects, and my team is very good doing feasibility such papers to get finance from banks for projects that are viable. And we just hit closed doors all over. There was a project I wanted to do that I really believed in. We ended up doing it. But I struggled to get the money. And then I went to pray after a while. And the Spirit said to me, your confidence is now in yourself, in your system, in your good name that you've done a number of good projects that work, in your connection. The board members know you. The bank managers know you, you know. The Spirit said, go back to believing God for things. Are you with me, beloved? We want to buy a car. Even if you can afford, even if your car allowance can afford the repayment, go to the altar and say, God, we need a new car. We ask it from you. Give us a car that will not shed blood. A car that will be able to do this and that and that. Because Jesus is moved by people who have faith in him. Yes. Amen. In Hebrews 11, it is impossible to please God without faith. Those who come to him must believe that he is. Yes. And yet a reward of them who diligently seek him. So let's not move away from the tradition of faith. Let's not move away from the habit of let's pray about it. Let's teach our children, if we want to get something, let's pray about it. I remember last year, there was a game farm I was buying in the south of the country. And one of my boys is really keen in outdoors and hunting and farming. We also have a big farming operation. And he took 3 days of fasting, fruits and vegetables only. Now the problem, this transaction took long to conclude. And this man was saying, Babet, I fasted about this issue. You said this thing works. I was under pressure to close this thing because someone's faith was on the line. We need to teach our children that you pray and trust God for things. And when you get the things, bring them and let's have a prayer of thanksgiving. So that they are clear in their hearts and in their minds. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Jesus says to the man, your sins be forgiven you. In verse 20. And the Pharisees say, who is he to forgive sins? Not all infirmities of the body are caused by sin. In John chapter 9, they find a blind man and the disciples say, who sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus said, no one sinned. But there is also a relationship between habitual sin and infirmity and sicknesses and chronic illnesses. There is a spiritual connection for people who live a life of sin consistently. That in the spirit, that sin produces a physical decomposition that is in the spirit physically. When I say bakona bangola, I'm asking, are you there? I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It's just preaching in the wrong place for a long time. Hallelujah. Are you there? In John chapter 5, Jesus heals a man at the pool of Bethesda. The five porches. He comes there, he's been lying there 38 years. Jesus says, do you want to be healed? This man says, no one can throw me in the pool. Because the Bible says once a year or seasonally, the angel will come and stir up the waters. And the first one to jump in would be healed. This man says, no one to put me in there. Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk. And Jesus disappeared. The man's healed. If you read that chapter, the Pharisees make a big hullabaloo over that the man was healed on a Sabbath. The Bible says when they are in the temple, Jesus finds the man. And when they meet, what does Jesus say? Jesus says to him, see that you don't sin again. Because a worse thing's going to come upon you. Which means for this particular man, there was a relationship of his sinful life and his sickness. And if you were paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus says a worse thing is going to come upon you, what would that be? Heaven knows. So we should take those things seriously. Sin in your life, confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive any sin. Any sin. Habitual sin. Any sin. The blood of Jesus is powerful for any sin you would have committed. Praise be to God. The Bible says, and Jesus said to the man, arise, take up your bed and walk. The Bible says, suddenly, this man stood up, picked up his bed. We still serve a God of suddenlies. We thank God for gradual miracles. I've experienced them. Gradual miracles. Or you go to the doctor and he says, this is not correct, stop eating this and that. You go to pray and you adjust. You make those adjustments they've said, you know, cholesterol and all of that. We all get troubled with those things. But sometimes God heals you gradually. But he's still a God of suddenness. They say you've got a brain tumor, and some you come here, we surround you here, the pastor comes with his oil, and he anoints you with his oil. The Bible says, then he's sick among you. Let him call the leaders of the church in James. Let them anoint him with oil. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he's committed any sin, they shall be forgiven him. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. It's 10 past 11. As I close, the Bible says the man took his bed, went home, glorifying God. The things that God does for us, we don't keep them secret. Nikona? We don't keep them secret. The things that God does for us, we testify. Amen. We tell people, it is Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. They come and say, you're still married after such a long time. You still love each other. It is the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. They say, you're flying in your career. You're doing so well. Got so many promotions, such a short space of time. It is not me. It is Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes.
The Bible says they overcame him by the word of their testimony. Praise the Lord. So we testify. We glorify God. I mean, this man, when they took him to that venue, he was on a stretcher. Jesus says, take up your bed. So when he was going home, he was carrying the stretcher. And the people who saw him going the one direction said, is that Bongani? Is that Paul? Yes, it's him. He's carrying his stretcher. And they stopped him. What happened? Jesus of Nazareth said to me, your sins be forgiven you. Jesus of Nazareth said to me, rise, take up your bed. That's why I'm carrying this bed. That's why I'm off drugs. That's why I'm off alcohol. I'm no longer hooked. We tell people about that. Glorifying God. And the Bible says there was fear in the whole town. The things that God does for us must not affect us only. They must affect the environment in which we live.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is not a secret society. If God does something for me, it mustn't be only for me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When God gives us a big project in our engineering business at home, I call the team, especially my executive, the directors, call them in. Gentlemen, we have this contract. And ladies, my wife also sits there, director of property, and another lady sits there, head of project management. We've got this job. It'll give us a lot of money. But let us pray and thank God.
Yes.
If you don't believe is your problem, we pray and thank God for things. And the people know we are successful because we are a praying company. We're a company that believes God. So what God does for us must affect our environment. People say you are always happy at work. Why? You don't have problems. No, it is the joy of the Lord. And many times the people that we live around are suffering, are bleeding because of life. Life's not easy. When you tell them, this is the joy of the Lord. The Lord, can you introduce me to this Jesus? Then suddenly you have an opportunity to have affected someone's life and sowed a seed in their hearts to the glory of God. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Can we stand to our feet? We'll come to the end. Hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands and let's pray? Father God, we thank you for this word, we pray. It is your incorruptible word, incorruptible seed. Let it grow in the hearts of your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. You are still a healing God. You are still a loving God. You are still a God who raises people who are paralyzed. Some of them are not physically paralyzed, but they are paralyzed because of life. We just pray as we've ministered this word here, that your grace that passes knowledge would just traverse this place soul by soul, life by life. And Lord, bring healing.
Yes.
Bring healing, inner healing, physical healing, relational healing, emotional healing. You are the best psychologist, Lord.
You
are the best physician, Lord. Let there be healing in lives. In Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you. And we glorify you. And oh God, as we depart in this place, we say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord protect you. May the Lord fight for you. May the Lord open doors for you. Even doors you never knew existed. May the Lord speak to you in forums where you cannot speak for yourself. May God give you peace. In the midst of this troubled world, may God give you peace. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.